Starting on page 1059, chapter 24, verse 5, we have the Parshat Kisaytse has a very fascinating thing. It sounds like this. We are on 24:5. Chav Dalad, Hey, 1059, 1058. We're going to read the English. When a man marries a new wife, Mirtz Hashem, he shall not go out to the army. That's one. Nor shall it obligate him for any matter. That's not even English. We'll figure it out in a second. He shall be free for his home for 1 year, and he shall gladden his wife whom he has married. The basic rule is this, which is, we'll see if it's biblically applicable today. There is a Torah law right here. We don't know exactly all the details. More than one Torah law that says, during the first year of marriage, a newlywed male is not to be drafted into the army. That's the first word. That's easy to read. He shall not go to the army. Now, he shall not go to the army. There's going to be a question. We're going to take it easy tonight. Who is that obligation on? Every time there's an obligation, one of the things you got to figure out is who is it directed at? So is it directed at, we're going to assume, surround the person because he wants it next to me. Let's say he gets married very soon, and he's now the one that, is it on him not to go to the army, or is it on the army not to draft him? Because it says he shall not go to the army. Who's it on? Now, you could say both. You could say both, but who's it on? Go. Anyway, Torah law. First statement is a newlywed married is not into the army. Again, debate if that, in person. I have to stand up almost, except that Charles got upset because of the camera. Well, so the first rule is a newlywed is not to go to the army. The question is it on him or on the general of the army? Okay, so the first rule that we see in this passage, the first statement is he shall not go to the army. Next statement, nor shall it, not in English, obligate him for any matter. What that simply means, it seems like, we'll discuss it tomorrow in a second, is that not only should he not go to the army, he shouldn't go to any army-related service. You could limit the word army to the battlefield. He's not going to the battlefield. The word army in the Jewish law usually means the battlefield. But he could still, what? He could be the back lines. He could be the cook, right? You could be in the back roads making sure the artillery supply lines are good. That's important. These are all important things. It seems unsimple. He should not obligate on that also. So the guy who's married the first year, if he gets that draft notice in the garbage immediately, he's not even going for any service. I mean, he's not going to get the back line, nothing, 0-0. And the next one is he shall be free for his home for 1 year. That sounds like the first one is do not. He shall not go to the army. He shall not be obligated. Those are negative prohibitions. Now there's a positive. He shall be free in his home for 1 year. He must remain in his house for 1 year. Then there's a colon here, a comma, and he shall gladden his wife whom he has married. So there's all four statements in this thing. Don't go to the army. Don't obligate him in any matter. Stay home. Make your wife happy. That's four different things. Now the Gemara right away is going to ask, wait a second, easy Gemara to understand in English. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, it says he shall not go to the army. It could be think that it shouldn't go out to the army. He doesn't go, but he can go to the supply lines. And he can make sure to repair the roads. Hamaloymar, it therefore says, don't go to anything. Which means, I would think it means even building houses and stuff like that. So it means Hamaloymar, all of it has to be on him, which I'm going to write down. The second, hold on, 4, 5. Oh, once it says don't do anything, so I say don't go to the army. Obvious question. Don't go to the army and don't do anything. So don't do anything. What would I say twice for? Vague term, because if he does, he violates two violations. So on the simple interpretation of the Gemara, it means like this. If a newlywed goes, and we're not sure if it means he's being drafted and the general violates it, or he volunteers and he violates it, if he goes for army-related service, he violates the second part of the passage, one violation. If he actually gets to the battlefield, he violates two prohibitions. That is also a positive thing. The positive thing says stay home and make your wife happy. You would assume, I would assume, stay home literally means, some of the Rishonim might say this, means don't go for business trips. Forget about army. There's another part. It means if the guy goes to the army, he loses the army. He left his house to army service, and he also left his house. The left his house sounds like the most inclusive of all the stuff. The moment the guy walks out of his house, he's out. That means he might not be able to go to the grocery. So the Rambam seems to say, wait a second. Yeah, for real, the wife wants him to go to the grocery. She wants him to go get a job. We don't believe in staying home for 1 year and not leaving the house. How are they going to eat? So the Radvaz seems to say this, early 1500s, that no, anything that she wants, that's part of making her happy. So if it makes her happy when he's leaving the house, A lot of jokes that Michael's thinking. A lot of jokes. If you make that, then of course you're allowed to do that. But if she's not interested in going to the army necessarily, now there is a debate. The Sefer HaKhenes, anonymously 1300s, says there's a question. Can she say even army? Does she have the right to say, do whatever you want? Now, we're going to have to read the pasuk a few ways to understand this a little better. So the first statement is, do not go to the army. We're going to do the Hebrew now. Because the it becomes a major argument. So it says in Hebrew, Lo yetzav tzav, do not go to the army. Lo yaver olav, it shall not be placed l'chol dov for anything. Nor shall it obligate him in any manner. What does that mean? How does it mean in English? Nor shall it, I don't even know how to read. Nor shall it be obligated. There's a massive debate between Rashi and Ramban on the word olav, last word of the line, on it. Is it saying, don't let the newlywed go to the army, and don't let the newlywed go to army service? So the it is going on the newlywed. Two things, like we said before. Don't let him go to the army. Don't let him go to army service. It on him. But the second thing is, Ramban seems to learn, it's not going. It's saying, don't place him on the army. One is don't let him go to the army, and one is don't let him be above it, meaning he shall not obligate him in the army. Means he can't be a leader in the army of somebody else. It's just semantics in the word, but it's very serious in different sets of laws. What is the second obligation? Upon the newlywed not to even become a general, he can't become the drafter, as opposed to the draftee, or if no, he can't be drafted, the draftee for the army, nor can he be the draftee for any public service. Now, the next major debate becomes, based on what I said a second ago, is what Michael started saying, is this law applicable today? So the Sefer HaKhenes says, wait a second, when we are talking about an army, we are talking about a religious army run by the Jews in the time of the temple. Solomon's army has this problem. But today, this is out the window. There's no way a person can violate. That means even if the guy volunteers for an army, we're not getting involved with Israeli politics. Even if he volunteers for the army, he didn't violate anything because that's not what it's referring to. They say that the law is not applicable today. It's like the carbon. You can't bring a sacrifice today. There's about 150 plus of the 613 commandments that are not applicable today. You know why? There's no temple today. If a person suspects his wife of being adulterous, there's no process of the suspected adulteress. It doesn't exist today. If someone last week spoke about is found on the road, murdered, there is no process of the axing of the heifer. It don't exist. Someone's contaminated. We don't have a red cow. So among those things that are inapplicable today, because we're based on an army, means a religiously accepted army with a Sanhedrin, with a court system, with a Jewish king, would be this law. This law becomes inapplicable today. That's what many of the rabbis said. What about the positive commandments? Do not go to the army. Do not go to army-related service. Stay home. Stay home. Stay home, the Sefer HaKhenes says, is applicable today. So the biblical law of Shana Rishayna, the positive aspect of Shana Rishayna, according to the Sefer HaKhenes, the first I'm mentioning, is applicable today. In fact, there are great Hasidic stories of people got married, came to visit their great rabbis, the Chayz Malablin, in the Kotzka, and the rabbi would say, first year marriage, you can't be here. This is a positive command, stay home. Return home. Yeah. And the first year, the grand rabbis would say, whoa, this positive commandment is applicable today. Now, the difference is going to be this. How do we understand the positive commandment? If the positive command, we have to understand the rule is, anything related to a Jewish army is not applicable today. So if the Sefer HaKhenech is going to say, the prohibitions are out, there's no army, but the obligation applies to positive, that means that the positive obligation of leaving the house is more open-ended on what violates the positive obligation. That means when he leaves his house, potentially go to the grocery to throw out the garbage, he potentially could be violating it until you come out to her saying yes. But that would mean a guy early married today, the Karav Mamash, a guy married today in the first year, decides he wants to go to his friend's wedding in Toronto, it could be he's not allowed to in Jewish law as a positive man. Now, he could ask his wife who's first married, she's going to say yes. But that's not really her forgiving. That's her being an idiot because she's married the first, like already married. She's a thing first year, she's saying it. In order to have her forgiveness, it has to be 100%. Now, you have to know how much you have to read her mind, which we'll never figure out. Sounds ever.
Sounds like
even way past the first year.
Sounds like a whole other warrior.
But that means you can't leave automatically. There is a question, did he go on an overseas business trip? So now, if you want to say the wife wants the money, it depends. Does she want that extra money that will be going on the trip? Well, wait it out. It becomes a very big thing. Could he go to the baseball game with his father? So you have to understand that the positive application of this obligation today would mean that the positive obligation is a much more serious, open-ended obligation. The only way to violate two in the Gemara is if you go into the battlefield. Doesn't apply today. The only way to violate the second one is if you're going to army-related service, can't apply today. But if you can violate the positive obligation, that means, because the positive obligation has more. So we have one question.
Has more what?
Has more applications of things that it includes. Might include business. Might include leaving the house for anything. And some of the early commentators, you're going to read them, they're basically going to say, when they want to talk about ball and chain, new level ball and chain for the first year. You're not leaving the house. Literally.
Is there anybody that says that they're all linked together?
Yes. So that
they go back, right?
There are many that link it together. And that would mean that either they hold, it's that, but they're going to say, but there are some that say, when you look through the Uraim says that the negative prohibitions apply today. Most of the commentators explain, because he doesn't learn the negative prohibition is limited to the army. They mean when you leave the house for anything, you're violating negatives and positives. That means the basic assumption is going to be, we're going to find variables. The basic assumption is going to be, if you apply the prohibition or positive today, it means it's not limited to the army, which is not limited to going to the army or the battlefield. So if you want to say, like Uraim said, the prohibition applies today, he would say a guy going on a business trip violates two prohibitions and the positive commandment. Maybe a second positive commandment, we'll do in a second. If Yoda doesn't apply today, because the army doesn't exist.
Or maybe the positive doesn't apply because the negative doesn't apply.
He's on fire. He's on fire. Some will say that as well. So we're going to have another theory now. We're trying to keep it all balanced here. The Sefer HaChinuch was easy because we said it first. Prohibitions do not apply today. We understand it's limited to army. Positive applies today because it's not limited to army. Then we have the Uraim saying everything applies. Everything applies means everything's not related to the army. Then we have some that say nothing applies today, but they say, but by the way, it only doesn't apply biblically today because it's under the umbrella of the prohibition. The prohibition is limited to the army, and the positive is under that prohibition. So since the prohibition doesn't apply today, the positive doesn't apply biblically today, but it's a serious thing. Technically, the guy should be staying home with his wife. If he leaves, he didn't violate the biblical one because in the end, the biblical one got cut off based on the prohibition. But there's something to it. Now, here's the big question. Open up the Chumash, do you read Hebrew? How do you read the second half of the pasuk? The first half is definitely two negatives. Right? He shall not go out to the army, nor shall he obligate him in any manner. Semicolon. Now, it's the positive. He shall be free for his home for 1 year. We'll say be in his home free. He shall be in his home for 1 year, and he shall gladden his wife's heart. Now, let's read this positive thing. This is important. He shall be in his home for 1 year, and we're going to discuss the Hebrew in a second. He shall gladden his wife whom he is married. English, very important right now, the Hebrew. Naki Yelabesai. He shall remain in his house. I'm just saying remain easier. Shana'ach is 1 year. What's this next letter? The Simach es Ishtai. Article said, and he shall gladden his wife. If the Vav is a connector and, then you could read this as what? Is this two statements or one? He shall stay in his house and he shall gladden his wife. Let's say he stays in his house and he's just the guy who couldn't go to the baseball game with his father. What mood is he in? He's in his house, but do you think he's gladdening his wife's heart at that moment in time when he thought he's going to the baseball game? She said, of course you can go. He's like, and then she's like coughing. He goes, what was that cough? Oh, nothing. No, I'm fine. I'm like, what? You're fine? What? And he's realizing, wait, that go to the baseball game is not go to the baseball game. So he decides, like, I'll stay home. Dad, lose the $300 tickets. I'll be home with my new wife with that attitude. And he's sitting on the couch all grumpy. Did he fulfill the obligation here or not? Watching the game. And it's the all-time best game ever, right? Or can we say the Vav is not and he shall gladden his wife for whom he has married, so that. Not, that means he shall be in the home so that he shall gladden his wife. There's a big difference here. What we want to discuss is this Elazar, relevant to most of us, all of us. The mitzvah, the violation of leaving his house to the army, is an actionable transgression. You know why? You know how you violate it? When you walk outside your house toward the battlefield. When you get there, according to most, you violated the prohibition. You left your home. Do not go to the army. Don't go, army service. And what's the obligation? Is it active or passive? When it says, remain home and gladden her heart. If you say remain home and gladden means you got to buy her flowers, you got to make funny jokes, you got to actively do something, or is it no. Remain home so that she's happy, that means inactive, passive, remain home. How do you violate it? when you leave the home. You violate with an action, or you violate by not buying your flowers. How do you violate the positive? Is the positive an active obligation or a passive, and how are you violating? And of course, there's going to be a massive difference, because we've discussed 100 times in this class that when it comes to the laws of repentance relevant today, when someone violates a passive violation, even as holy, only because someone's sitting next to me, as not putting on tefillin, that's only a passive violation. Not that big a deal.
The violation is purely just to satisfy her, not to like have kids. I thought that was like...
That's a different violation. That's a different obligation we'll get to soon. That's an obligation of the first one of procreate. That has nothing to do with this.
I thought that was...
That means... good point. So,
a child, like a,
so let's... According to you, let's say,
yeah.
It's good. If a guy would be... Pick an age, even in today's world with IVF. The guy is on his second marriage in the nursing home. He's 103, and he found the love of his life, and she's 101. So if he's 103 and she's 101, would you say, well, he has no obligation of Shana Rishana? How it says, when you take a new wife, you're obligated to make her happy. It's not based on having children. There's a separate obligation of having children. So the if he marries a girl, God forbid, him or her are incapable. According to the simple reason of this verse, they're still obligated to this mitzvah. Doesn't matter about kids. It is what you're saying is true, but it's not exclusive. There's now. So in general, any violation done passively, not sitting in a sukkah, not putting on tefillin, not eating matzah, which is most of the positive. Most of the positive obligations are do X, do Y, do Z. When you don't do it, you passively violate it. That's the easy repentance. Because God says, okay, just clap al chet, you're okay to do samsar. But when you violate an act of violation, you eat pig, you punch someone, but that's a man to man, but you actively violate Shabbos and these things, you're
a
doing
negative.
Something,
you're
violating a negative,
it's
in most cases, not 100%, but in most cases, it's an act. Now, here's one of the potential exceptions. When the positive obligation says, make your wife happy, so how do you violate it? Is the obligation remain in your home? That's the first words. Remain in your home, then it's an exception to the rule. You violate it by doing something, by leaving your home. Or do we say, it's like most positive things, make her happy means buy her flowers, make a joke, and you violate it by not doing something. Massive difference when it comes to repentance. Is this an active positive? Remain? So the question becomes that vote. Remain in your home, X word, to make her happy. Is it so that... Then the main thing is remaining in the home. And we assume that just by being there, that's the job. We hope it's going to work. Depends who she is. We hope it's going to work. That's what it is. But it's a passive obligation. You violate it by walking out of the house. Or is it, no. It's to get there, to make her happy. We assume staying home. But the main thing is, no. Being home, sitting on your couch, being grumpy. Did you fulfill the mitzvah by sitting on your house being grumpy? If it is remain in your home, grumpy guy on the couch is in his home. If it's to make her happy, buy the flowers, make the jokes. Grumpy guy's not. And by the way, reverse as well. Let's say he goes on that business trip, but he arranges for the flowers to be sent to her. Did he violate this mitzvah or not? He is not in his home, but he made her happy. He called her. He sent her flowers, sent her a letter in the old days. That's old you are, right? So it becomes a very serious thing what this positive mitzvah is. And no one says it's two positive mitzvahs. Nobody says there's one mitzvah to remain and one mitzvah to make her happy. Nobody says that. It's one mitzvah. The debate is what the mitzvah is. And again, she has the option, according to some, to say, I'm okay, I forgive you. Do what you want. That also plays a major role in repentance. Because any mitzvah that there's a way around it, the violation is not as serious. So for example, if a nazir, a guy vows that he won't drink wine, won't touch the dead bodies, right? Won't cut the hair, and he violates it. He needs repentance, right? He shouldn't cut his hair. But that repentance is not the same as eating pig. Because every one of us, 24-7, can eat pig. But a nazir, none of us are nazir, and the nazir himself can get the right rabbi to say, I made this vow under weird circumstances. I was a little loopy at the time. I didn't realize how much I really wanted to cut my hair. Whatever he comes up with, the rabbi could say, retroactively, we'll get rid of it. Sometimes not retroactively, but either way, it has less potency to it because it's something that you can get rid of at a certain point. We've discussed in the past if someone passes away, there's a mitzvah of yibum, biblical command. But the lady, the widower, from the brother has a right to say, that guy, no way, no way. So when she says, no way, what happens now? It's not that he's violating his mitzvah. He has no mitzvah. He has no mitzvah. When a person violates a girl, he's supposed to marry her. Obviously, we give her the right to say, I don't want that guy. I know what this guy's like already. So when he, by her saying, I don't want the guy, it's not that he's violating his positive mitzvah to marry her. It doesn't apply anymore. Any mitzvah that can become irrelevant for whatever reason, less repentance is required, because on some level, it's less a transgression. Even though when the guy's violating, he wasn't, when he cut his hair, he wasn't thinking, I'm going to get rid of it in a week from now, meet this rabbi, I can get out of it. He wasn't thinking that. It doesn't make a difference. The inherency, that's a word, the inherentless, I don't know what the word is, the goof or the heft of the violation is considered less of a violation. So now, we have two negatives, might be applicable to going to the store. We have one or two positives that might apply as well, depending on her. But there's another question. And we'll end with this because everyone's early night tonight. There is a question. There are two types of positive violations. When you are obligated to shake a lulav, and it's 8 o'clock a.m., and you didn't get up for Shabbos, did you violate the mitzvah yet? No. Why not? Because you have until 6 p.m. to shake the lulav. You don't have to, you could shake a lulav 75 times and get a lot of mitzvahs, but you don't have to shake it 75 times. You really have to hold the lulav for, we'll give it a thing of 5 seconds. So when did you violate, when do you violate not shaking the lulav? You know when? Sundown, the last 5 seconds. The last 5 seconds. So when I say I didn't take the lulav the whole day, you didn't take the lulav the whole day, but you violated it for 5 seconds. Your violation was a 5 second violation. Let's go a different one. Another positive. You have to have a mezuzah on your doorpost. When you don't have a door mezuzah on your doorpost, that's a continuous violation. Every second the mezuzah ain't there, you're violating something. Which means, we're not going into it now, maybe next week we'll continue with this, the repentance is much greater because it's not a one-shot deal, I made a mistake. I have, divided by the minute, the second, the hour, you have a lot of violations to give it. What is Shana Rishayna? Is Shana Rishayna every single second I have to make her happy? She's sleeping, I'm not doing it. I'm sleeping, I'm not doing it. Or it's no, it's like a mezuzah. It's not like a mezuzah. It's like a lulav. I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but no. You can't be thinking every single second. That's not it. It means overall, she has to be in a good place. Maybe you did it once the whole year, you're okay. On the extreme easy way out, one time the whole year gave a flower, you're okay. Or every single second the whole year. So even though there's a potential leniency of saying, it's only passive, I'm in the house, I'm good. Or it's only passive, I mean, I have to do something for her. I only violated by not buying her flowers. I didn't buy her flowers, not a big deal. But on the other hand, there's a stricter side that it might be a recurring, continuous violation that becomes bad. And again, it would depend on the person. It seems like it's a little strange. Would that mean, I don't have an answer to this, the needier wife requires more to fulfill the mitzvah? We'll continue that, but we should know one thing. The similar concept, and we'll go before this next week. We once did it or not, respecting parents. Respecting parents. We brought down the story, we'll say it again now. The guy came to Rav Steinman one time and he asked him for the tefillah. And Rav Steinman said, I don't take anything personally. I'm out for you automatically. The guy said, but there's a mitzvah to ask the tefillah. It's a mitzvah, special thing to elaborate. I spoke badly about you behind your back. I killed five shidduchim for you. Like, I'm a great tzaddik. I want to come up to you. Please forgive me for saying so many bad things about you. No. So Rav Steinman told the guy, if you want to be that frum, then tell me what you did wrong for me. The guy says, I'm not really sure. You did something wrong for me. But what do you think you did wrong? So he said, I'll tell you what I think I did wrong. I see you every single day. And because of that, familiarity breeds a disrespect on some level. I see the whole world flying into you. And they're giving you such honor, but I'm used to it. So I lose that little respect, like everyone with the parents. So Simon said, that's not the problem. So the guy said, what do you mean? He goes, I'll prove it to you. Because if that was a problem, you'd be asking your parents for forgiveness right now also. Because you see me every day, but you see your parents every day. And you don't seem to be that bothered by the fact that you're treating them less than you should. So the guy told Simon, what did I do wrong? He said, I did wrong. that you go around telling people you see me every single day. I worked 90 years to become who I am today, and you're riding my coattails saying, oh, look how close I am to him. No, don't use my effort for your ego. But I don't care. I forgive you either way. But know what you did wrong. So we're going into an Elzman. We have to know what we did wrong, ask forgiveness, know what levels of forgiveness we need. We'll probably do a little of this again, maybe next week as well. Have a great night.